People, this is Truth Quest with Melody, and if you're wondering why it's on at this hour, it's because we've moved up to a new time slot. And so I hope this is more convenient for some of those that have a tendency to go to bed a little bit earlier on the weeknights, and so it also kind of helps out my guests like tonight, who I have Tony Pantaloresco, and he's back this evening. But before we get into my guests, I just want to say again, you're listening to Truth Quest with Melody on KHENLPFM Radio, 106.9 Salida, Colorado. We're streamed on the internet at khen.org, and Truth Quest programs are archived at www.givemesometruth.info. And my guest Tony is dedicated to research, years working in the healthcare field and proven techniques in herbology, and this has given him a distinct advantage in helping people live a healthier and successfully fight illnesses. So Tony, can you add to this here?
I just tell people I'm just the guy that knows some stuff. That's all.
That's the one I wanted to say that was on your website.
Just keep it simple. You know, I don't get caught up on titles or degrees. You know, I have been doing this for a while, but I really don't get into that. I actually encourage people to start their own self-taught or self-training methodologies on herbalism, aromatherapy, foods. Do your research. Do some valid research. Don't just go by the internet marketing stupidity that's out there today. When I got into the health food industry, you know, 30-some-odd years ago, there was a lot of ethical behavior in the industry. There was a genuinity as far as selling things that actually worked, not just marketing a bunch of nonsense. Today, it's a little different ball game. You're being told to take high levels of omega-3, which is absolutely insane, high levels of vitamin D, high levels of calcium, which are totally absurd.
Well, you know something, Tony? One of the things when I was young, we lived kind of down south, and they used to throw their old medicine bottles out the door and into the creeks. And my husband used to like to go dig those creeks up, the creek beds, and find these bottles, and some of them back to the 1800s. And one thing that hasn't changed is the fact that they were always looking for the elixir of life. And something that came along that was new and different was always going to be the panacea to cure everything, even if it had radium or some other oddball thing.
Oh, yeah, that hasn't changed. That really hasn't changed. Let me elaborate a little bit about this. Okay, you've been told for the longest time, Americans and Canadians both have been told, you don't get enough omega-3. Now, the best source of omega-3, believe it or not, is butter. You've been told fish oil is the best thing, and you should be using fish oils and fish and all this nonsense. Fish oils are loaded with mercury, arsenic, cadmium. They just did a research about 2 weeks ago on whales that they found in the oceans are now loaded with chromium, manganese, and a lot of other industrial metals. Now, when you extract these oils from the liver and wherever they're getting it from on the animal, you are going to get these contaminants. Now, when they say that these bottles are mercury-free, what they're actually saying is that the levels of mercury in these oils are so low that they deem them safe. But there is absolutely no level of mercury that is safe for human consumption, just like aluminum, cadmium, lead, and arsenic, and a whole host of other things.
Like the dental mercury?
The dental mercury, the thermosural vaccinations that they give you, you know, with the mercury-laced vaccines. None of this crap is safe. And it's all been designed, as my humble opinion, as part of a eugenics program that started after the Second World War. We didn't think of it back then because at that time, North America was a growing and developing nation. So everybody was, you know, gung-ho. We were moving forward. We're the best country in the world to live in. This is the speech and the rhetoric we were told. You know, we had the best of everything, so forth and so on. We had the best medical. We had the best science. We had the best this and best that. What we really had was a sales pitch. And I'm not anti-American. I'm not anti-Canadian. But looking back, I'm 50-some-odd years old. I've seen the cycle at least three times repeat itself and what's been going on with denigrating North America. And what I'm seeing more and more today is nothing is sacred. When they're telling you to take high levels of omega-3, for instance, what winds up happening is the arterial lining of your arteries will thicken up. Initially, there'll be a thinning of the blood, but then you have arterial thickening. Now they're telling you to take mega doses of vitamin D because you're deficient. Now I tell people, if you're in the sun belt, what I mean by sun belt, anywhere in the summer months, when we have summer, if you've got a summertime from spring, May time, till, let's say, September, October, and you're out in the sun for 15 minutes a day, you're getting over 230,000 IUs of vitamin D. Now, you've been told for years and years and years not to get in the sun because you may get cancer. Part of the reason that happened is because we switched over from butter, which has high levels of vitamin D, high levels of vitamin E, high levels of omega-3, 13 times more than fish, high levels of CLA, which if you gave it to a young, developing young woman, a girl or a boy, especially the young girls, by the time they would reach puberty, you would neutralize the potential of getting cancer of the breast by about 96%. What we did is we switched over from a good fat, which was butter, which they told you wasn't evil because it's cholesterol, and got you eating plastic. And what wound up happening in those days when that transition was going on, people were having problems because the cholesterol, which acts as an antioxidant in your body and protects you from cancer and protects you from being infected with viral infections, was reacting to the plastic that you were consuming. And what was going on as well at the time is we went from sugar, which again, cholesterol reacts with it. How many of you are being told you have high levels of cholesterol and you're in your 50s and 60s? There's absolutely nothing wrong with having high cholesterol in your 50s and 60s because, it's acting as an antioxidant and fulfilling the roles of other antioxidants in your body that have gone down. You cannot die from cholesterol, contrary to what they tell you. Unless you really congest the arteries with some mean junk in your diet, sugars and starches and things like that, which will cause cholesterol to react and what is known as periodization or breaking down into a free radical, that's when it becomes a problem. But if you're using things, for instance, like vitamin E, derived from either rice bran oil, palm oil, or olive oil, not soybean, using things like thyme, rosemary, sage, oregano, savory, garlic, onion, ginger, cayenne pepper, black pepper, these things keep cholesterol from breaking down and becoming sticky.
Just
how many of you are using Coumadin and Wayfarin? What are the foods they tell you not to eat? All the ones I just mentioned, plus they tell you not to eat papaya, pineapple, ginger, because if you ate those things, it would make the drug more potent. But if you ate those things regularly and ate saturated fat, in 3 months your arteries would be clear, cholesterol would be down, arterial flexibility would start to return.
Okay, now, let's first of all, where do you talk? Tell us about your radio program that you have on the Micro Effect, and where you're located, and your website, so that you know you're creating some major questions for these people, and they need to go refer to your website to even find out what the basis that you're coming up with this kind of information.
Okay, I do an online radio show on the Micro Effect, www.themicroeffect.com, every Monday and Friday at 8 o'clock Eastern, and I talk basically on the agendas that are going on the planet, the eugenic programs are going out there, the chemtrail activities are going out there. I expose a lot of the myths in the health food industry, which, again, they will not tell you because they want to sell you whatever they got to sell you, because you have to remember the health food industry is indirectly owned by the drug companies, contrary to what some people may tell you.
One way to tell is to go look on some of their websites, and you look on some of the board of directors, you're
right.
going to find a lot of these pharmaceutical companies are involved with these.
Health food, sure they are.
Yeah.
There's money in there. Look, in the United States alone, I believe the industry is a $50 billion a year industry. In Canada, it's about $10 billion. And it's, but in Canada, it's getting less and less because the government, in its idiocy, is trying to shut down the health food industry. Trying to take away jobs away from people. We have an intelligent government in Canada. I've got to tell you, it's one of the smartest on the planet. You would not believe the level of stupidity that they do. It's unbelievable. But anyway, the my webpage is http://augmentinforce.50webs.com, augmentinforce.50webs.com. I have a cholesterol link on there. I've got a canola oil link on there. You shouldn't be eating canola oil under any circumstance. It is an industrial oil. It's a metal penetrant. People who have worked in the industry, in the canola oil industry, wind up with skin lesions and deterioration of the skin. It will scar your thyroid. It will scar your heart. Okay? It has got high levels of omega-3, and when you heat omega-3 oils above 104 degrees Fahrenheit, you produce a free radical cancer-causing contaminant.
Okay, now, would you please say your website one more time, just for
okay.
those?
http://augmentinforce.50webs.com. augmentinforce.50webs.com. Okay? You go on the canola oil link, for instance, you'll see what the Asians have studied about omega-3s, and they say too much of it can actually kill you.
Well, isn't canola made from the rapeseed?
Sorry?
Isn't canola oil made from...
Yeah, canola oil is derived from the mustard seed family called the rapeseed. And what they did is they genetically modified this, so they took out the an acid that was in it that was considered lethal for human consumption. And then they decided to change the name because it wasn't politically correct. So they called it, instead of calling it rapeseed, they called it canola or canola.
Wasn't that made for Canadian oil?
Yeah, it's a Canadian product. Okay, and as a result, again, they used to use, back in the 1940s, 1950s, it was called Lear oil. Lear oil was an oil that they used to use as an industrial lubricant because it would penetrate the metal and keep the metal more lubricated so that it would be able to tolerate heat and pressure and friction more efficiently. Well, when you consume this kind of stupidity, what happens is it breaks you down on a cellular level. Okay, it's going to break your fats right down. It's going to break your skin tissues. It's going to target your organs. And it's not something, again, that was meant to consume. Now, with all the knowledge that they shared about omega-3s not being heated at about 104 degrees, and they go through such great lengths at cold pressing these oils so that you won't have a contaminant, then they turn around and sell it to you so you can cook with it. It's an oxymoron. Again, no ethical behavior whatsoever in the health food industry. You know, when I talk about soy, I will knock soy down and stomp on it because it is such a lethal food, whether it's GMO or non-GMO. Some people say, well, you know, you're entitled to your opinion. I am. But I also have studies to validate what I'm saying. If you look at the United Nations studies, which included China, you'll find that the Chinese don't eat a lot of soy, if any. But the Japanese and the Koreans who do eat a lot of soy have the highest cancer rates in the world, which is something they don't tell you in the West. So when you're eating soy, what it does is it will bleed out of your body calcium, magnesium, manganese, zinc, vitamin B3, vitamin D, vitamin E, B12. The four minerals I mentioned are key to sustaining life. If you give a young boy soy, has such high levels of phytoestrogens in it, it will actually cause an endocrine or endocrine disrupting effect on the boy. It will deplete his zinc levels, which are tied to his testosterone development, which is also tied to mental acuity. ADD doesn't exist. It never did. But if I take away, put things in the body that damage the brain or cause neural damage, like canola oil in combination with soy, which in combination with MSG, in combination with high fructose corn syrup, in combination with fluoride, and now maybe lithium in the water, we wind up with brain-damaged children, and we can't figure out what went wrong. So when you combine this chemical soup, this is the end result of what happens to our offspring. We need dummies today. We don't need smart people. We need dummies. We need dummies so they can go fight in wars that we have nothing to do with. We can tax the heck out of them, and they'll follow the game plan. They'll just go along because they don't know any better. They can't rationalize. They can't think. They can't perceive. They can't create because they have brain damage. Now, again, when you look at the thyroid, okay, a lot of women have thyroid issues, okay? Now, this is something they don't tell you. When they do a thyroid test, they're testing your T4 and T3 cells. That's a lot of cod swab. That's not testing your thyroid for iodine. That's testing your tyrosine levels. Now, tyrosine with iodine and selenium will regulate the T4, T3 conversions and will act as an antiviral, antibacterial, antifungal, and will convert estrogen to estriol, which will actually pull the excess estrogens out of the body. So indirectly, it can protect your bodies from cancers of the breast. If the thyroid levels are down from iodine, so are your breasts. And if you have a low level of iodine in the thyroid, it's a 96th percentile chance of getting a breast cancer. So you need iodine, not soy. And what they found out was the Asians ate a lot of seaweed, which is not consumed here in the United States. If you ate, I believe, 30 grams of seaweed, you would get approximately 18 milligrams of iodine, which is more than adequate to protect you from some of the endocrine cancers that can affect both men and women. Now, we've got this fire raging over in Russia. They burned out. They have set on fire the radioactive fields. They've been storing radiation for the last 50 years. Radioactive material that is now going to permeate into the air. So my encouragement is that you start using foods that have high levels of iodine. And I would strongly suggest you either buy the Lugol's iodine, and if you try to find it at a 5-7% dose, not the 2%. If not, find supersaturated iodine, which is about 32 milligrams per drop, or use the nascent iodine, but use more of it more frequently, or the iodoral iodines. All of them will work.
Tony, okay, I let my audience know that this is Tony Pantoloresco, and we're speaking about nutrition and breaking some of the myths on what is in our foods and what is in our environment. And oh my goodness! Oh, I wanted you to tell the people about some of the videos you have on YouTube, and how they may be able to get a hold of your DVD.
Okay, if you go to www.youtube.com and type in the search "herbs plus beadworks," herbs plus beadworks. We have 71 videos on there, and I show you how to make your own Lugol's iodine. I show you how to make your own SSKI supersaturated iodine. I show you how to make your own almond milk. I show you how to make your own tinctures. I show you how to make your own herb health creams, facial creams, body creams, things of this nature. I show you how to take food and turn it into something remedial. Okay, for instance, if I give you parsley, dandelion, and watercress, and you juice them in through a blender and strain them, and you drink that, these have high levels of specific antioxidants that can protect you from breast, testicular, and hormonal cancers, hormonal-causing cancers, because of the luteolin and the apigenin in the parsley and the dandelion and watercress has iodine in it. So it's a win-win, and it's simple and cheap to make. If you got dandelion growing in the field and it's not been sprayed, use it. It's probably better than the stuff you're going to buy in the store. So I show you how to make things like that. I show you how to take an onion, a piece of ginger, 3 to 6 inches of pieces of ginger that you peel, and some grapefruit, and juicing that in a juicer and using tablespoons amount of that, which will pull out of your body's metals, will break down blood clots, will increase circulation, will knock out pylori, will increase digestion, lower blood pressure, regulate the heart, something really simple. Everybody's always running to the health food store during the certain times of the year because you've all been conditioned. In the spring, you need to cleanse. You got to cleanse. And in the summer, winter before, you got to have a cleanse. And you're spending $30 to $120 for cleanse kits that do diddly. Now, I will show you a cleanse kit that will cost you approximately $3 a week and works better than just about anything you can buy at a health food store. All you need is fresh apples that you will peel, 2 apples that you will peel. Chop them up small enough so that when the blender turns, you can mush them. Take a beet, any size beet, peel it, put it in there, break it up in small pieces. Or you can add peppermint to it, or you can add ginger. That's up to you. You can add all three if you want, or one at a time. You will blend that into a mush. Add a little water so you get a fresh sauce. You might want to add a little cinnamon to this. Once it's mushed up, pour it in a glass jar because now this is enzyme active and the fibers have been broken up. You would consume about 3 ounces of this every night before going to bed. What you may find the next day is you will be sitting thinking deep thoughts. Because what's happening here is the fiber is gentle enough to go into the colon. The pectin in there brings water to the colon, which hydrates the colon, and also absorbs metals and poisons that are in the colon. Now, if you added beet to this, what you're going to get from this is nitric oxide, which, again, nitric oxide from the beet kills cancer. It also has blood-purifying properties as well as, again, cleansing properties because it's meshed with the apple. If you've added peppermint to it, what happens is the peppermint now sanitizes the colon. It increases oxygen in the colon through the bloodstream. It will kill off the Asian flu virus, okay, and we're just talking regular peppermint here, okay? It will increase oxygen, and it will, again, sanitize and help digestion. If you add ginger to it, and it will also remove estrogen out of the body, both the apple and the peppermint will do this because of the pectin and the luteolin in the peppermint. If you're using ginger, what you're going to find out with that is if you've got pylori of the high pylori, you'll knock it out. You'll find it too will remove a lot of toxins because galangal and ginger detoxify the colon as well. So these are three things, well, actually one thing that you can add any way you like that will do exactly what a lot of these healthy, these expensive health products will do, because a lot of them will add a lot of fiber and a lot of leftover stuff that they use. What happens a lot of times is they do push the stuff out of your colon, but then there's a residual that sits inside, so you're back to square one. This cleans. It cleans gently. And when it does finally hit, I knew one gal here, she was constipated because she was pregnant. She used it. After about the third day, she says when she finally went, it was relief beyond belief, and it regulated her. So that's one way of doing it. Another way is by adding applesauce to oatmeal and yogurt and cinnamon. What you do, again, is you soak the oatmeal. You do not cook it, because when you cook the fibers, they become hard, and they're not malleable that they need to be. So you let them soak for a good half hour, and then what you do is you put a bowl of oatmeal, about 2 tablespoons of applesauce, 2 ounces of yogurt, and a teaspoon of cinnamon. You blend them up or mix it together in a bowl, consume it. Watch what happens. You have another cheap and inexpensive way of cleansing the colon without going through any elaborate duress. Now, mind you, if you're going to get into colon cleanses, I do encourage not to eat bread or rice or pasta or any bread derivative, or even oatmeal. Just do the applesauce and yogurt, or the applesauce and other things I mentioned. Because any starch or any carb will, again, collect back in the colon. So the idea is to clean it out, allow it to relax, allow it to drain out some of the excesses that are going on, and again, you're freer. And your pancreas works a lot better, and so does the liver.
Now, one of the things that you brought up earlier was about the eugenics programs and the like, which, yeah, without a kind of a clear understanding of what is going on and why we're getting so much, confusing information, let alone downright disinformation about some of the foods and things that we take into our bodies, is this eugenics program, which you say World War II, and from my research, some of this started back in before World War I.
Yeah, I agree. It did. It did. You got to remember, our global banks and some of the more affluent institutions on the planet have had a power base for a long time, and they do not want to surrender it anytime soon. And if they don't have control of it, then they exterminate it. If you look at the genetically modified foods that were put in place when they first originally were designed, they were designed to grow in places where these things wouldn't grow. And as a result, one thing led to another. So when you look at a genetically modified food, what they do is they expose it to a high level of the mosaic virus. Now, once they expose the virus to the seed by puncturing the seed, because the virus itself cannot puncture a plant or a seed unless, for instance, a bug or something else penetrates the leaf or the seed, then it takes over. Well, whatever the genetic code they put into the mosaic virus now changes the seed. So what you think is bread really isn't bread anymore. What it is a genetic anomaly that is not designed by God or nature to digested or what's absorbed by your DNA, and in fact will start causing genetic and DNA damage. Now, one of the reasons why genetically modified foods are not labeled in the United States is because there is a great deal of illness going on, and you could probably tie 70-80% of the stomach issues going on, all these people using Nexium for heartburn or whatever, would be probably a direct or indirect result of the DNA and genetic structure of the colon being changed. Again, your body isn't by design able to break this stuff down. Okay, just like soy, when you're consuming soy, one teaspoon of soy takes 30 days to pass the colon. Okay, genetically modified or normal. And what soy does, it attacks the pancreas where you produce trypsin. Okay, it's a trypsin inhibiting food. So in other words, if you can't produce trypsin, which goes down into the lower GI, where you break down protein to absorb it there, that protein now becomes unabsorbed and starts to ferment, causing problems. So again, this is one of the reasons why they don't do this, because there would be litigation up the wazoo, and they would be broke.
Now, the
Europeans do label theirs. So they do have an option and choice. And the FDA always states on their labeling that if we're going to label this, does this in no way state that this food is any inferior than the normal stuff? If it was that safe, they should have labeled this 20 to 30 years ago. Then we would have been able to tie directly to a lot of the ailments that are affecting people on the globe. You'd be able to tie it directly to these things. But again, it's about eugenics.
Some of these, I mean, that soy, which is in a lot of your processed foods and the like, and my husband had a antitrypsin deficiency, which was a lung disease, which I would venture to say that must be contributing considerably to people's allergies.
Most definitely. Look, when you look at, let's take a look here, okay? Look at fluoride. When fluoride was introduced, you were all told that fluoride was going to prevent tooth decay. Nothing could have been further from the truth. The studies that have been done have come up that when you take lots of fluoride in your system, it literally causes your teeth to collapse from the inside out. Now, When you add fluoride to the system, what's it doing? It's destroying the thyroid, literally shutting it down. So some of you are hypothyroid, some of you are hyperthyroid, and it's both tied to the fact that you're low in iodine, because the iodine in your body is usually used to remove fluoride from the system. Now, some people say, well, it's in tea. That's right, in small, minute amounts, and there are antioxidants in tea that keep it in check. Whereas when you drink it straight out of the tap, there's nothing to keep it in check. So what winds up happening is you're drinking an industrial waste that they didn't want to spend money to get rid of. Now let's add soy to that equation, okay? So now we have soy, which causes your brain cells to overactivate. It eats at your thyroid. It eats at your pancreas. It eats at your colon. So now you can't digest your food properly. So now you're deficient in nutrition. It's literally destroying one of your organs that produces enzymes, not only for digestion but for your immune system. It's eating at your esophagus, so again, a lot of times you have that pylori issue going on because esophagus is being destroyed by the soy. Now it's attacking your thyroid along with the fluoride. Now, because you're not getting the magnesium, you're not getting the vitamin D, you're not getting the manganese, you're not getting the zinc. Zinc and manganese are used by the mitochondria as an antioxidant, which keeps the cells and energy levels up high, and also converts to L-glutathione, which is your main antioxidant in your body. So when this is all gone, now you're sick or you're breaking down. You can't figure out why. So now let's add another thing to the equation. Let's add aspartame. All of a sudden now, you can't figure out why you can't remember who you are. You can't figure out why you're forgetting all the time. You can't figure out why you're always anxious and revved and whatever, and then all of a sudden you're tired. You know, and again, we're adding that to the fluoride and to the soy. Now let's add MSG to this. So when you see autolyzed yeast in your foods, when you see MSG in your foods, now what you're doing is you're getting something that's going to cause your brain cells to go supernova. You know, bang, 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 bang. Now, taurine and glycine usually calms the brain cells. So if you don't have enough taurine in the brain, you wind up having an epileptic fit because your brain is overloaded. Now we're adding high fructose corn syrup to this. So I mean, if you can see the pattern here, I'm showing you how it sort of got started. Okay, high fructose corn syrup causes pancreatic cancer. Another way of shutting down your body's ability to digest and absorb nutrients that keep you healthy. Okay, not only does it cause pancreatic cancer, it causes cancer in the system. There was one study that came out a couple of days ago saying that the cancer cells can distinguish between the fructose and the glucose, and you can use both sugars. Now, when we, again, are using high fructose corn syrup, which is, again, a modified version of it, you've got a superconductor there that's going to cause further breakdown. And, again, it's in just about everything. Now, when you got these foods in combination, they're usually in your junk foods or your fast foods. Okay, and what winds up happening is, yeah, they're very good. They've done a very good job at first changing the DNA structure of the food so it looks like whatever, smells like whatever, tastes like whatever, but it's not. It's a deception. Then they have flavored it in such a way that when you eat it, for instance, when you're eating chicken, because they're feeding chicken MSG, and then when they prepare it, you cook it, you're getting MSG, you can't stop eating. Because you shut down the brain. And then after you've eaten something with high levels of MSG, what's the next thing you eat is a lot of sugar. Because the brain needs the glucose to keep that rapid-firing machine gun going up in the head from what you've just eaten. So you've got a lot of these things happening. So then what happens is it prematurely ages you, prematurely breaks you down. Now you have aches and pains in your body, and you can't figure out why. You have organ dysfunction, and you can't figure out why. And you follow all these dietary programs that are out there, whether you're eating this way or that way or whatever way, but nobody is dealing with the fact that you're eating a genetically altered food. Everyone's talking about eating the raw food diet. Everyone's talking about the blood type diet. Everyone's talking about the Atkinson diet, the macrobiotic diet. If you do not or are not aware of the fact that these foods are genetically modified, it doesn't matter what diet you use, you're just changing one poison to another. So there will be some changes up the way, but eventually you'll develop a new set of issues as a result. So it's really important that, again, we know what we're eating. Now, there's some legislation going on in the United States right now. I haven't fully read it. It's the same kind of legislation that we have in Canada, Bill 510 and Bill C-36. Again, this is, again, about your access to not only supplements, but what you can grow in a garden. Who benefits from this? You know, not you or I. It's Monsanto and some of these other, Cargill. And again, we can't just keep looking at Monsanto because they're not the only players in the game. Everyone points to Monsanto. Meanwhile, Nestle's and DuPont and Cargill and ADM are doing the same thing. But we don't look at them because we're all focused on the bad guy here. Monsanto, he's a bad guy. We got to look at him. And we got to nail Monsanto. But meanwhile, back at the ranch, these guys are doing the same thing. So it's a lot to swallow at one time, and I understand that. Now, let's go back to the Mosaic virus.
Where does Mosaic virus come from?
Tobacco.
Tobacco. That's right. Oh, okay.
Okay.
Right.
And what happens is, in the plant kingdom, again, the Mosaic virus cannot normally penetrate a plant unless a bug or something damages the leaf or whatever. Then it moves right in. It doesn't have the capability like a fungi or a bacteria to take over. Now, some of you are seeing lesions on your skin. It could be a result of the Mosaic virus as a result of eating too much GMO foods. Now, you have to think, we're being fumigated. The human race is being fumigated. Now, these chemtrails above us, if you go to Arizona Skywatch or Carnicom.com, or if you go on my webpage, there's a chemtrail link.
Now, you said
you're
Arizona.
Being fumigated.
It's California Skywatch, isn't it?
There's also an Arizona one.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, there's a lot of them out there. I'm familiar with the Arizona Skywatch because I have friends down in Arizona that I was affiliated with when I was down there, a good bunch of people, very dedicated to trying to turn things around in the country as well as stopping chemtrail activity and trying to keep the food supply safe and healthy. You know, when I was down in Arizona, I couldn't believe my eyes. I mean, we're seeing squares, we're seeing tic-tac-toe, we're seeing circles. They even tore the ozone while I was there. It was about a 20-mile strip of black, a big, huge black line where they tore a line in the sky. The left side was blue, the right side was blue, and then there was this big black line so that you could actually see outer space. And then a jet flew by at supersonic, pumping up stuff to seal the opening. So here in Windsor, Ontario, where I'm in Windsor, Ontario, Canada. You know, if you look on the west end and the north end of Windsor all the time, you see chemtrail activities up the wazoo here too. Lines and patterns, and then they're aerosoling, they harp these things, they spread this stuff out. And there's a lot of this going on.
Well, it's going on here too. It's not, I mean, it's everywhere. I mean, I've seen pictures from on Google Earth where you could see the whole country was covered, and then yet you talk to people around the planet, they talk about it as well.
That's what I'm saying. People are becoming more aware of this. This is a fumigation process. Now, since the Mosaic virus on its own cannot penetrate a leaf, the aluminum, the barium, the titanium, the thorium, the silicates that are coming from the sky can. So as a result, again, David Suzuki was talking about one time about the GMO being able to crossbreed within a mile and a half of where it was planted. Now, they've been planting this stuff for a long time. So with this kind of fumigation process, it wouldn't take much to kill our trees. I'm noticing here our chestnut trees, our elms, our maple leaves, even our fruit trees, our apricot and peach trees that we have growing here, all our peaches and apricots didn't even come up this year. They started to, they got going, and boom. And if you look at the leaves, they've all got this black, brownish spot in whatever pattern. It almost looks like that Mosaic virus when you look at it online. The maple leaves, same thing. The chestnut leaves are completely covered with something, and you know it's not normal. We're at the time of the year here where we're in our apex. We're still very hot, so we shouldn't really be seeing this kind of activity until about October or November. It's already happening, and I know it's not a normal situation. So, again, after traveling the countryside, I was in Arizona, I was in Alberta, I've been in Ontario, I've been to Oregon and Washington. you see a lot of the stuff going on all over the place. So anybody who's traveled will validate that, yeah, you see these things everywhere.
So if you have that barium and those heavy metals being sprayed in the air, and say you had something like a pine beetle or that, are you aware of any kind of a relationship there?
As far as I know, nobody's come out with it. It's just my own personal observation based on what I've read and studied and what I've seen. But it seems like there's been almost a direct correlation. I'm seeing more and more people coming into my store with skin lesions that normally wouldn't be there. Now, whether they're from insect bites, like from ticks, or from foods that they're eating that may be now surfacing through the skin. I had one fellow come in, and he had one big set of blotches on the system, and I know it's from the breads and the carbs he's eating. He can't stop himself from eating this stuff. So his body's inflamed with this stuff. Now, I've had another guy tell me that he had had a skin rash on his skin for 25 years. I gave him a mushroom remedy, and it cleared him up in 5 days. So I gave him something called chaga. What that is basically is a mushroom that grows on the white birch. Now, if you're going to go after this, please do not kill the tree. Just remove the mushroom and leave part of it on the tree, because the mushroom is actually bringing oxygen to the tree. Trees are having a problem breathing as well, because they are filtering all this stuff out, and they are trying their best to make sure that that our vegetation life that sustains us goes with us. That's how it appears. And again, I don't know how to put it, but this is just from what I've seen. I'm jaded. I tell everybody I'm jaded right off the bat. I'm a very jaded guy. I've been, alive on this planet 50 some odd years. I've seen things change. I've seen things evolve, and I haven't seen them getting better.
Are you familiar with, MRSA and treatment?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Okay.
MRSA is something that you get only from going to a hospital. Now, let's say you got to go to the hospital. What you want to take with you are one of three essential oils. You want to either take geranium, lemongrass, or tea tree oil. And all you do is breathe. Stuff it. That's all you do. The way you get MRSA is through the nasal cavity. And these oils actually kill these kind of staphs. There's a whole bunch of other essential oils as well, but the research that I've got on it says it's what you would need. Now, if you do get a staph infection like this, you can knock it out. Iodine will help with that tremendously. GSC will help with that. Peroxide will help with that. Olive leaf will help with that. Astragalus will help with that.
I've heard the colloidal silver.
Colloidal silver will help with that. I don't know. I personally don't use colloidal silver regularly. I don't think you should either. But that's my opinion. I think there are other things you can use, like bee propolis, balm of Gilead, olive leaf, GSC, iodine, which will be just as effective as the silver. The silver can displace your healthy bacteria and probiotic. It does accumulate in the system over a period of time, even though it's at a 10 part per million. They say it won't, but I think it will. You're not, again, going to see that continue. Colloidal silver, in my humble opinion, should be used as either when nothing else works. I've used colloidal silver one time to knock out a fever after I exhausted propolis. I exhausted, 20 different herbs that I knew would knock out this thing. What had happened is I ate turkey at the wrong time of the year. I always tell people, never buy turkey at Christmas, Easter, or Thanksgiving. That's the worst time of the year to buy that stuff. And if you do buy a turkey, never exceed 5.5 kilograms, which is equivalent to 12 pounds. Anything 12 pounds and lower doesn't get the antibiotic levels, and they're a lot cleaner birds. Anything above that, you run the risk of getting a cancerous bird, because I used to work in the industry at one point in time and seen them cut cancers out of these birds. So never buy a bird at those time of the years, because that's where they lace them up with the most antibiotics, because they're in cages and in enclosed areas. And when you eat those birds with the antibiotics, you're not getting a flu. You're getting antibiotic poisoning through the bird. So this is also talked about years ago, and it's what it is. So if you were to buy a turkey any other time of the year, chances are you're not going to get ill from eating it, or you shouldn't get ill from eating it. Let's put it this way. But during those times of year, I would tell you to go buy duck, chicken, lamb, anything but a turkey.
So how did you get into this, doing what you're doing? What
you mean with the radio and stuff? Or
no, I mean getting into the herbs and even the beadworks. And,
that would take 20 zillion. No. when I was younger, I used to be an athlete, and played a lot of sports, and was pretty good at it, actually. But I didn't want to be using the anabolic steroids at the time. You know, I was just thinking I wanted to be able to, whatever I built in my body, I wanted to be able to have it when I was older. And in my when I was training, I had met some guys that were in their 40s at the time, and they looked pretty good. They were solid. They had muscle on them. They weren't obese. They weren't fat. They didn't have the estrogen belly or the estrogen chest. And so when we talked, we used to train hard, and the whole theme was, whatever you build is yours. Use a chemical, whatever you build it's the chemical. So anyway, I started at that point reading everything. I read biblical passages from the eating habits of the Jewish laws. I read different things from different other cultures, Asian cultures, East Indian cultures, whatnot. You know, I was looking for that magic, you know, food that's going to make you super strong and be able to run faster, jump higher, leap tall buildings, the whole nine yards. Then I started doing my research on herbalism, and so I looked at ginseng, and I was looking at bee pollen, because back then, at that time, you got to understand, the health food industry only had, all you had was your vitamins from A to Z. You had your protein powders, whether they be egg or whey. You had cans of beans, bee pollen and spirulina. That was it. That was all you really had. And then you had the odd soap that they use and some shampoo, which was basically the, I can't think of what it's off the bat. It was a very simple soap, Castile soap. That's what it was. That was it. So back then, we were all looking for answers. We're looking for vitamin combinations. You know, we read everything. We tried everything. We tried everything that came on the market. You know, at that time, protein powders were laced with steroids. So when you took the protein powders, you thought you were really big and getting like, wow, I can lift 1,000,000 pounds. But they had laced these things at the time, and then after a while, they took the stuff out. It was just to get them to sell the stuff. Then more and more products came out, then people were getting cancers. So then there was a big, big, huge theme on finding cancer remedies. And there was all kinds of stuff that came out that actually worked. Then the FDA got involved and started shutting things down or taking things off the shelf, putting it back on the shelf. And it's always been a yo-yo effect. Today, under the new GMP that they've put out there, they are going to kill the DSHEA with this. Just like in Canada, we have a DIN number, you have a GMP significance down there, which generally means that they have to follow the DIN numbers here stand for drug ID number. These are vitamins that have a drug ID number. So basically what they're saying here is the pharmaceutical companies have already taken it over here in Canada. When they brought this in about 13, 14 years ago, I said this was a bad idea, and everybody thought, oh, great, we'll have standards. Yeah, you have standards now, and you're losing your supplements.
And they're pretty low standards for getting.
Yeah, exactly. The GMP down in the U.S., what that's designed to do is that's designed to eliminate any up-and-coming vitamin company. Let's say you come up with a good idea. You have a tremendous idea. You've experimented with it. You've seen it. You've tested it. And you found that it'll cure herpes 1 or 2. Or you got something that'll cure, you know, HIV, which, by the way, there is a cure for, which is just by using coconut oil and bay leaf because of the lauric acid in it.
Huh.
Okay, but let's say you made something. What happens now is you bring it to market, and now the bigger supplement companies get a little bit paranoid because now you're cutting into their profit margin. And you have to remember, the bigger supplement companies are owned by drug companies. So they have their stock brokers that they've got to appease as well. So now you come along, and now you made $1 million on your product. So now the FTC is coming after you for making some kind of claim or making some kind of error. You didn't put a plastic something on your bottle. You didn't seal it properly. You have bad manufacturing standards. So now through the process, you will get two warnings, and the third warning that can shut you down. Meanwhile, the big guys go on their merry way.
The GMP
is designed to consume the consumer's rights of access. And it's an unfortunate reality. And a lot of these supplements today, you really have to read the labels. Bring a magnifying lens, because what they're doing now is they're shrinking the print so you don't know what is in the bottle. Okay? You think you're going to go buy a vitamin A, and what you find up wind up happening is you've got canola oil and soybean oil in there. So what the supplement companies are trying to do is they don't want you to be aware they're putting that contaminant in your supplement.
Okay, now hold that thought, because this is KHENLPFM Radio, 106.9, Salida, Colorado. Again, I want to, and my guest this evening is Anthony Pant, or do you just want to go by Tony Pantaloresco?
Tony is good enough.
Okay, Tony Pantaloresco, and he just knows a lot of stuff about herbs.
Just the guy that knows some stuff, that's all. That's all I am. I like it that way. I'm not titled, I'm not licensed, I'm none of that stuff. I can do what a herbalist can do, I can do what a naturopath can do, I can do what a lot of them can do, but I'm just a guy that knows some stuff.
And
I will give you a recipe rather than a prescription.
Okay, so you're getting into the Dechet and the version of Canadian way of cracking down on the ability of the people to get a hold of good vitamins and...
Well, the thing is, in Canada, a lot of the supplements come from the United States, and right now they've shut down the border from receiving a lot of things, and you run the risk of having them turned back at the border, which is, again, lunacy. But, again, when you look at the big agenda there, if a supplement is helping your body recover or heal itself, again, this is something you will not hear anymore. You know, even the health industry is scared to use the word heal or cure. And this is a real irony here, or an oxymoron. Everybody, once in their life, or twice in their life, or several times in their life, gets a common cold. Okay, you get a cold. Now, after about two to four weeks, depending on how bad your immune system has been compromised by the GMOs and the fluoride and everything else you're consuming, your body will recover. Now, you no longer have a cold. Now, they won't say that your cold went into remission. Okay, they won't. They won't say your cold has gone into remission, but you got over your cold. In other words, you beat it. You cured it. Now, cancer is no different. Cancer doesn't go into remission. You beat it. You actually can cure yourself of cancer. You can cure yourself of HIV. You can cure yourself of herpes. I've seen people using remedies that have beaten HIV and have beaten herpes and have beaten cancer. I don't know how many people I've seen beaten cancer. And I've had people that were on their deathbed beat cancer. Now, and I'm saying this because it's true. I'm not saying this to sell you any products. You don't see me out here hawking anything, and I don't. I usually tell you what you need to take. You take it for as long as you need to take it, and when you're done, you're done. And you move on to whatever. Now, if you want to maintain a good vitamin protocol and a good eating protocol, that I would encourage, just so that you maintain and sustain. But you don't see me pushing or hawking any kind of nonsense.
But you do have a DVD and CD where you can get a lot of this information so that you can do a lot of this on your own.
Right, that's true. Well, we do push that. I don't even push that much either. I do tell people we have it. We do have a binder out there, which is basically our kitchen's herbs and spices that you can use to cure your problems. Notice I said cure, heal, you know, fix, eradicate, you know, make better, make whole, make strong. You can do this. Now, I've got a research binder that I just basically ask a $50 donation for because of the research involved. Now, anybody could do the research. Matter of fact, I even have it on my webpage for free. So those of you who can't afford it, I'd go both ways on this. If you can't afford it, doesn't mean you should be denied access. And I'm not a believer of that either. So it's there on the webpage as well. Kitchen Herbs. Now, if you want to buy the binder, have your own hardcover or a DVD, it's also there for you, too. Either way, I'm not a believer of suppressing or being a god or a suppressor of knowledge. I believe you should have access to these things to be able to make yourself whole. That's just my personal belief. We do have the DVDs out. Same thing. They're out there on the internet. You can get watch them for free, or if you want to buy your own copies, they are there for sale as well. If you are interested, you can email me at independs@yahoo.com, independs@yahoo.com, or you can call me here on my magic jack at 602-512-1230, or you can call me on the Canadian line if you're in Canada at 519-977-5351. And again, you won't see me push a lot of stuff, even my own stuff. It's there, and I do encourage you to try it. If you know it does work. I do have people using my stuff. I got people in China using my stuff. I got people in New Zealand, all over the place, Tennessee, Florida, wherever. And again, I don't believe in you not having access. I do believe that you should have clear and free access. That's how I see it. May not be good business sense, but it is good ethical sense. And I don't believe that anybody should be denied health. And that's the way it is with me. Now, again, when we're talking what we're talking about tonight, in all things there are cures. And my personal belief is real simple. You know, when God made everything, He made everything so that we would be sustained and alive. You know, when you look at some of the texts from different belief systems, whether they be biblical or otherwise, the one theme there is any seed that's alive and you consume that gives life is what you should consume. When you're looking at things that have been genetically altered, this is not life-giving. This has been changed. When you have a seed that's designed to grow and then die after it produces its fruit, that is death. Okay, that is going to promote death in you as well. Life begets life. Life equates to life. So when you're consuming things, like, okay, you'll get on this other thing that's out there right now is having a raw food diet. I'm all for eating your fruits and your vegetables raw as much as you can. Your yogurts, I'm all for using fermented foods, which are very much alive as well, like yogurt and kefir, fermented cabbage or fermented carrots or anything that you might ferment, even vinegar, wine. I'm a big proponent of you drinking wine. Yeah, I said wine. Okay, and again, when I'm talking wine, I'm in regard to your faith or your belief system or your ability to handle the beverage. If you can't handle it, don't drink it. You use vinegar. If you have a faith that doesn't allow you, or you have a belief system that doesn't allow you to drink wine, no big deal. Use vinegar. Most belief systems or faiths do allow alcohol consumption to be used in a health-like manner or to heal a condition. I have yet to meet one that doesn't allow it for that reason.
Because a lot of your tinctures and that sort are made with alcohol.
They're all made with alcohol. Yeah. But again, when you're using the alcohol tinctures, you're only using three to five drops at a time. So there's no way that's going to create a problem unless you have some serious brain damage or glandular damage or liver damage. And again, you can put those drops in tea or coffee and then evaporate the alcohol and do it that way. So there's more than one way of doing it. Or you can put it in an apple and just drop the drops in an apple and then consume it. Again, the fiber will, again, absorb the alcohol and you get the component that way. So you have lots of ways of taking these things without having to worry about an alcohol issue. But if you do have an alcohol issue for whatever reason, then abstain. You know, I'm using these things, and how I'm using these things is not to get you drunk, not to get you stupid, but to use them to heal the body. I'll give you an example. Let's say you have a stroke. Let's say you have stroke in your family. Let's say your mom or dad or grandparent had the stroke issues. And so you may be inclined to have a stroke, not because of genetics, but because you've been eating the same way and preparing the foods the same way that your grandparents eat. I don't believe in the genetic stupidity that they've sold us. So let's say you're eating the same foods, and then when you reach a certain age, you're more prone to getting an aneurysm or a stroke. If you feel one coming on, you would pop the cork on a bottle of wine and drink the whole bottle. It will save you from the damage of stroke. Tell you a true story. My uncle, I told him this thing, about, 6 months before it happened, because my grandmother, his mom had died of a stroke. So I said, if you ever feel one coming on, you crack open the bottle of wine and you drink it. He says, can I drink blueberry wine? I said, I don't care what wine you drink, just drink it. So 6 months later, a stroke did hit him. And he's Mediterranean, so you have to understand, when we drink a glass of wine that's for big consumption, it's about a gallon. Anyway, he poured the bottle into this huge glass, and he drank it. It stopped the stroke in about 3 to 4 minutes. And when they called the emergency to check him out, the doctors, when they checked him out, were surprised because the damage that wasn't done, they expected that the damage would have been far more extensive. The only thing he lost was his peripheral vision. So now, that's pretty good.
Now, somewhere along the line, I'd heard that that was a copper deficiency.
Sorry?
Somewhere along the line, I'd heard that was a copper deficiency.
It could be a copper deficiency. It could be a bioflavonoid deficiency. It could be a plugged artery or vein. It could be a lot of different things. And again, could be not enough oxygen getting into the area as well.
Okay.
So a lot of times, again, when people are past the age of 40, the first thing I get everybody on, the number one supplement I get everybody on are enzymes, number one. Because enzymes trigger not only your digestive system, but they act in protecting your system, your body's system defenses. So if you don't have enough enzymes going through your system, they can't regulate your bodily functions. They can't keep the arterial wall clean. They can't keep blood clots from forming. They can't bind and break down metals and other pollutants that you might be absorbed with. Okay, antioxidants are right behind them.
Now, there are a lot of different enzymes. And so,
that's right.
So do you vary those, or do you have favorite ones?
I usually go with a full spectrum, but my number one go-to enzyme that I use is serrapeptase. I don't believe in using natokinase. I think it's another one of these idiotic things that they're pushing because it's derived from soy. I'm not a soy proponent at all. I have absolutely no use for it. The only thing I would use soy for is fertilizer, what it was meant to be used for. That's it. I wouldn't feed it to the animals. It actually causes your animals to cut their lifespan in half. If you're giving your animals dry food, stop. You give them meat. You give them bone. You give them fat. You give them skin. You give them whatever they would normally eat in nature. Cats and dogs do not have a digestive system that can digest the corn, the wheat, or the soy that they put in these dry foods. If you go on my webpage again, you look at the pet food link I got on there. This was written by a vet that tells you exactly what goes on in the veterinarian industry, how this whole pet food thing got started. And these animals suffer from tooth issues. They suffer from bone issues. If you see your pets starting to go blind, starting to walk funny, starting to see dry patches of skin, that's an allergic reaction to the dry food, and it's causing them to become diabetic, and it's breaking them down. Every dog I've dealt with, or every cat I've dealt with, that's either had cancer or whatever, the first thing we did is we got them off that dry crap, we got them back to eating real meat, eggs, yogurt, kefir, butter, olive oil, whatever. Whatever you eat, you feed them. And every one of them, within probably a 2-week time span, had seen major improvement, because we stopped the diabetic process that was going on. I got a cat here that was supposed to have been dead 3 months ago based on what the vet said. They were going to charge the lady $5,000 to irradiate this cat and cut it open. And so she asked me what I thought. I said, well, if the cat's only got a couple months to live, why would you want to torment and vex the cat? I said, let's try something normal. So I gave her that chaga mushroom again, and after about... Well, the cat was supposed to have been dead in about 2 months, so the cat had passed that, and they were telling me that the cat would not eat the food unless the mushroom was put into it. Anyway, they got the blood work done on the cat again by the vet, and the vet said that the numbers had completely doubled, and the vet said that the cat was going to make a complete recovery.
So what's in the chaga mushroom you think that is so effective?
It's got one of the highest ORAC values of all the mushrooms. I think it's around 50,000 ORAC. But again, it's antifungal, antibacterial, antiviral, antiamoebic. Again, because it's attached to the birch tree is one of the most sanitized trees on the planet. It even has a more sanitary environment than a hospital setting. The amount of germs are in the vicinity of a birch tree is so low, it's unbelievable. You can literally stand under a birch tree, breathe there for 15 minutes, and it'll sanitize you. So all the properties that are in birch are in the mushroom. And then again, you got to remember, when the mushroom is consuming the birch, it's fermenting the properties, so the properties become exponentially stronger. Right now, for instance, I've got what I call yogurt water or yochi water, where that when I drain the yogurt or the kefir, I save it because of the bacterial in it. So I took about 40 vitamins, the children's vitamins, crushed them up in powder, mixed them up into this thing, and I let it ferment. And what I've done is I put a balloon over the top of the bottle, and I taped it to the bottle so that when it starts fermenting, it blows up the balloon, and then when the balloon starts to go down, then you know it's done. Then what I normally do is I'll freeze it, put in some dry ice, put in a container of dry ice, let it freeze to a certain point, then I'll chop it up, and then I put it in one of those vegetable corianders where you strain your vegetables or clean them up. I'll put a handkerchief on the bottom, strain it, it'll pull the alcohol out and the nutrients and leave the water behind, and now you've got a super supplement. And it's all through fermentation.
And so you show these various processes again on some of a number of your YouTube videos that are on the internet.
I haven't done this one yet, but I'm going to probably in the next set we do. We try to get a bunch of them up. The last two we did is we made a garlic and yogurt, and we did the SSKI. Because I have a lot of Americans that contact me here that they can't get the potassium. They can get the potassium iodide, but they can't get the iodide crystals. So I haven't been able to find a source in the U.S. for that. And if they've got to buy it here in Canada, it's going to be extremely dear. So I don't want to be selling something super high. It's just not necessary. So anyway, I've shown them how to make the SSKI, which is the next best thing. And again, the iodine concentration of that, if you do it the way I show you on the video, it works out that for every one ounce solution that you put in it, it takes about 40 grams. And that 40 grams gives you an equivalent of about 32 milligrams per drop.
Okay, so now, when you put those videos that you put up on YouTube, are they also available on any of your CDs or DVDs?
Yeah, they are. Oh,
okay.
They are.
All right.
They're both available there as well.
Okay. And one of my things that I like to recommend, I mean, you just never know with the way that they're messing with the internet. It's good to have this kind of thing in a hard copy. That's my feeling.
I agree. I mean, the way we look at it, we did an infomercial there, eh? After one of the videos, and we were having fun with it. And we pointed out, you know, if you want to make a donation, by all means, don't be shy, because whatever we do, we're trying to get as much information as we get going. So the more our hands are free of these financial burdens that we have to bear, the more I can spend time. I spend about 19 hours a day as it is, so I got friends of mine always giving me heck for not sleeping. And I said, well, we're at war right now, so, I mean, how can you sleep? We're being fumigated. We're being poisoned. Our water has been just, you know, we've got over a landmass size of the United States of plastic in the ocean. We just released oil in the water. The Russians have just burnt the uranium fields on fire. I mean,
you know, it's funny. When you brought that up, I'd run across in the Denver Post, and this was, I think, put out last February, that they wanted to dispose of the chemicals that they were storing at the Pueblo Army Depot, and they wanted to burn that because they had some kind of UN thing that was requiring that they have this stuff taken care of by a certain date. Even though I understand they do a lot of incineration with this kind of thing, but if you've got sarin gas and things like that, I'm not sure you want that in your air.
No, well, we already got enough crap in our air. You know, like I said, they've been chemtrailing since the Second World War. At the time, they called it CHAFF, C-H-A-F-F. It was a military experiment with the Air Force, and they started this process then. They even did something in Ontario with it. They went to Escanaba, Ontario, and they experimented with it by doing a low flyby with these chemtrails, and they released a pathogen, and a bacterial or fungal pathogen in the air. Anyway, it's a town of 700 people. Everybody got infected. You ever notice, again, I observe these things, and again, I you know, I could be called a conspirator or what's the other term? Paranoid or whatever, you know. And I'm not really paranoid. I just know that what's going down the pipe, you know, you can see it on a daily basis. You can see it in people's reactions and how they think. But you ever notice that on the TV we have this flu season, and we have the vaccination season, and we have the aspirin season and the allergy season. We got all these different seasons. You ever notice that?
Mm-hmm.
The next time you hear of a season coming up, look up in the sky and see how much more activity is going on. You might see a correlation. And again, it's just something that you might want to, not just you as a result, but even the audience may want to observe.
Yeah, I mean, because it isn't that, you know, we're making these things up. We start observing the cloud formations. They don't act like they used to. And when you watch them spray an area, you will find a fine cloud formation that fills the whole sky after a period of time. And often, within the next day or so, then you'll see a front come in, even though this is done before, while a front is coming in. But
yep, that's to break it up. Usually what they call that, what you're describing, is aerosoling. And the one report I got was when they run that line in the sky, then they hit it with a HARP technology from space. And what it does is it heats up the cloud and causes it to expand and spread out. So as it takes about 21 to 22 hours for that cloud to hit the ground. So again, you're in bed, and I've walked out of here at the shop at 3 in the morning sometimes, and I look up in the sky, and I can see the white lines going on then. When I was down in Arizona, like I said, it was unbelievable. You'd go to bed at night and wake up the next day, look out in the horizon, as far as your eye could see, 20 to 30 miles out, all you see was straight lines. There were times I had stayed up 24 hours just to see the go outside at 3 and 4 in the morning and just start seeing the pattern start. This was down in Arizona. Now, again, I like Arizona. I like the people down there. They're a good bunch of people. And again, a lot of them were just unbelievably active with what was going on, trying to wake people up. And again, people are slow to wake up because you have to remember, you know, they've all had enough fluoride and chlorine and soy and other things that it's caused some serious brain damage, and they don't realize it.
Well, can you imagine?
So this awakening that we're dealing with is we're dealing with chemical contamination. Now, some of them are waking up. Some of them are beginning, once they start making the changes in some of their lifestyle, they all of a sudden, or when people start losing jobs and things, now they've got the time to think about and see what's going on before they're caught up in that rat race and being totally distracted. Now you can look up in the sky and say, hey, what is that? You know, you turn on your tap water and all you smell is chlorine coming out of that. That's chlorine gas. You know, and then we think about the fluoride mixed with it and the aluminum. This has caused some serious problems. I've got people here coming in the store at 50, 55 years old. They can't remember who they are or what they're doing half the time.
And then you add the vaccinations that they start hitting them with from birth.
Exactly. So this is a well-orchestrated process. I mean, you've got to give them credit for this. This whole eugenics thing, I mean, started with the Georgia Stones whenever they were printed. And the whole concept there, now again, whether that's true, the idea is true or not, I don't know. But it really does appear that we are heading in the agenda that was put on those stones to get the population down to a mere 500 million. I was reading something the other day from a Jesuit site, or an anti-Jesuit site, speaking how Rome has had a strong hand in getting some of this going. And they were talking about a big deal going on even in Western Canada where you're going to make people dependent and at the same time causing problems to, again, diminish the population there. So this is going on here. This is going on everywhere. We've only got 32 million people in this whole country. The United States has about 320 million, 318 million. So we're one-tenth the size, and they're talking about that here. In New Zealand, they're spraying something called Brodofulcum 1080, which is one of the most lethal sprays that you could put out there that's causing cancer of women all over the place. They're using it to spray for pests and things, and it's going into the waterway, and even the sharks and the fish are not coming near the area. That's how toxic this stuff is. So you've got this going on globally, not just here in America or in Canada or in Mexico. The same thing's going on there, different parts of South America, all throughout the planet. Europe is getting it as well. So this is a real, real thing going on.
Now, one thing that I've had people come up with for an argument saying, well, but that would poison the people doing it. What do you answer to that?
My answer to that is real simple. If they've got the technology to poison you, they've also got the antidote to protect them. Okay? You got to remember, this is about godhood. This is about godhood. This is about me being in power and you not. So if I can come up with a plan to eradicate my competition, I'm also going to have the answer to save myself. I mean, that's just common sense. That's strategy. Now, somebody may say whatever. Look, they've got underground communities already set up. Okay, they've already got things in place so that these people can go someplace and not be influenced by what they're doing to the planet. You know, I'm sure they've got their fortresses and they've got their havens already set up underground or in mountains or wherever. So the elite will be protected. Those who have power and ability will be protected. And we're talking a small percentage. When you're talking a general population of about 7 billion people on a planet, this planet can seriously sustain about 16 billion people. But the problem we have here is those that are in charge would lose their power because all of a sudden everybody would be developing newer and better ways of doing things. We wouldn't still be building cars that are as inefficient as they are. Back in the 1950s, they were getting 50 to 60 miles to the gallon. Nothing's changed. Matter of fact, they're getting less mileage.
Right.
They could use steam as a source of powering these cars. Back then, they were talking, well, you'd have to put a plug, you still have to use gas to fire up the steam. Today, we have glow plug technology that would do the same thing, but you will not see that. We're producing a hybrid technology because the oil industry doesn't want to let go its hold. If we were using water like we should, we would have no pollution. These engines would last you almost indefinitely. These cars would probably be built a lot better than they are. The only time you'd probably have to replace them is if you got into a car accident. But we will never see this. Unless we come up with our own technology, when people form their own networks and decide to start their own technology and develop this kind of stuff and then distribute it freely. Okay, initially it has to be free. And everybody has a piece of the patent, so then if the globalists, if you will, want a piece of it, then they'd have to buy it out completely from everybody. Then the technology is entrenched. It's there. I met a guy down in Arizona that had an energy device that actually the more you use it, the more energy you put out. And it was an interesting device, and he tried to get it patented in the United States. It didn't go.
You know, I've often wondered if patents were their way of controlling the development of things and not preserving it for the person who initiates the patent.
Oh, well, for sure. Look, this guy had this energy device, okay? It basically was a dynamo that he had modified so that it produced three electromagnetic fields. And the third field actually powered the dynamo and the motor, so it turned them both into generators. And the more you use this thing, the more power it put out. Now, if everybody had one in the backyard, literally, you pick a city, any city in the United States, it would be able to probably power, the amount of power this thing could put out would probably power the state or the province. But again, that'll never happen because that gives you and I autonomy and that wrestles the independence away from these people. You know, a lot of people get concerned about Americans and having guns, and I've lived on both sides of the creek, and I try to explain to them the reason why Americans have guns is because to keep the government in check. Now, in Canada, they have tried to bring in a gun registry here. It doesn't work. Nobody here trusts the government either. So, because that's the only means we have right now to maintain some autonomy. Now, if we can develop our own energy sources, our own crops that we can grow, you know, for foods that are healthy and wholesome, which would eliminate a lot of the dysfunctions and diseases that are going on right now, we'd be healthy, whole. Our brains would be intact, our bodies would be intact, we would be able to develop the way we should, we would be developing things that would actually be a positive influence and a positive growth for everybody, all concerned. And that is not something that is in their agenda.
Well, let me go ahead and say this again. This is Tony Pantelaresco, and we're talking about various cures and herbs and some of the programs that are going on around us that are tied into the genetically modified foods. And while I'm at it, I also want to say we're having a summer membership drive, and our goal is 3,000. We started on the 24th. It goes to September 3rd. And this is for new and renewing members. We've got 42 and updated as of today. We had $2,100.40. So let's keep going so that we can actually surpass that goal. I think it should be 6,000 myself, but at least. So that would help sustain us for quite a while. So please join in and go in on KHEN.org and use the PayPal button or call the station in the morning and give us a pledge. So, Tony, go ahead and let's further get into the Agenda 21 and some of these other aspects that ties in.
Okay, Agenda 21. We were talking about the GMPs earlier. You know, good manufacturing practice. This is all part of the Agenda 21. The DIN numbers in Canada, that's all part of the Agenda 21. Right now, there's a thing called the EFSA in Europe, called the European Food and Safety Authority. And what they're doing is they're designing the regulations that are going to be allowed to be defining what can be said about health food. Now, McCain and a whole bunch of other politicians in the United States were trying to enact some changes with some bills. As soon as he brought them up, he was shot down and he backed off. Because he didn't back off because of the pressure, which he did, on some level that there was something there. It's because the EFSA was still developing the agenda that everybody is going to adapt. Now, in Canada, we used to have about, I think, 60,000 products. 40 or 60,000. We're down probably between 15 and 20,000 now because of the elimination process that the government here has been doing. Now, under the Agenda 21, a lot of things that you were told could help your bodies become healthy and whole, like probiotics, for instance, Agenda 21 has now shot down any health claim that can be made about probiotics. So this is, again, going to be about regulating not only supplements, but even the very things you're eating. Okay, what you can grow, what you can plant in your garden, what you can use as a means to feed yourself, what you can use to sustain yourself. In Canada, we started off with Bill 51 and 52, which was indicative of what they wanted to do. They wanted to stop your ability to grow your own stuff, and if you had something in your house, a health inspector could walk into your house without a warrant. If they felt, not if they knew, if they're not under by any regulations, but if they felt that you had something in your house that was deemed illegal based on what they felt, they could confiscate your belongings and put them in storage, and you have to pay for the storage until they deem it's okay for you to get your stuff back. Now, this could be done as a business, and this could also be done as a householder. The United States was going along the same lines, along the same agenda back then. Nothing has changed. You have Bill 510 and you have Bill C-36. All they've done is change the numbers, but they're still moving forward with this legislation. This correlates with what's going on in the European Food and Safety Authority. With these articles, Article 13.1, and you can go look this up at www.nutraingredient.com. And if you type that in there, just do a Google or Yahoo search and look at Article 13.1. You will see what's going on globally. And when you see what's going on in Europe, it will eventually trickle down to North America. Okay, and again, the idea of standardizing the planet under one standard doesn't work because, let's say, for instance, in China, there's a certain area in China where they have a selenium deficiency in the soil. So they have to bring selenium supplements into that area in order for people not to get cancer. So their selenium supplementation may be a lot higher than, say, somebody in the United States who doesn't have a selenium deficiency because we have adequate amounts of it in our soil. But we may be lacking iodine. So our iodine intake may be, need to be a lot higher than, say, somebody in Japan. So these kind of things are going on right now, all under a guise of, again, regulating and keeping access away from you. Some of you have had cancer. Some of you have HIV. Some of you have had AIDS. Some of you had hepatitis. Some of you have had arthritis, rheumatoid arthritis, asthma, bronchitis. And some of you, and some other health issues, digestive issues, colon issues, you know, IBS and Crohn's. And a lot of you have gone to the medical field, and they have offered you nothing except grief, pain, and cost. Then some of you have tried using enzymes. Some of you have tried using anti-inflammatories. Some of you have tried using specific antioxidants or multiple vitamins or some other type of alternative remedy and have seen results. Some of you have beaten cancer. Some of you have beaten HIV. Some of you have beaten herpes. Some of you have beaten AIDS. Some of you have beaten rheumatoid arthritis. Some of you have beaten, you know, diabetes, 1 and 2, because cleaned up your act and started using things that would build your body. They do not wish you to have that option. Again, it's about curtailing the populace. That's what it's really about. And this has been going on.
And the health care bill is more about controlling your inability to get a hold of things that will be healthy, correct?
Exactly. Exactly. You know, how many times in the past people have found remedies that actually work to cure somebody, and they've left the country. They've had to leave the United States and have left Canada or wherever, and then the FDA has gone to these countries and have illegally brought these people back, you know, to face some sort of Mickey Mouse court, and then, boom, they're in jail for 15 years. You don't hear from them again. So, again, this has gone on. I really do not understand. It took me a while to figure this out, but the FDA has violated every federal rule that has ever been put out against them to restrain and hold them back. So it further tells me that the FDA really isn't under the jurisdiction of the federal government, but under the jurisdiction of maybe a UN government or some other government, because the FDA actually controls Kodak. They're one and the same. So when you look at what's going on, like I said, globally, when these people have this kind of power, where they can go into your state, into your city, and just do whatever they want to do, and without any kind of retribution to them for violating your rights, you know, this is why it's important that you stay networked with each other, because that's the only thing that will stop them. Now, everyone says, well, what power do we have? Everyone, you know, I ask this all the question. They always ask me, what can we do? What can we really do? Number one, if you ever want to hurt a rich man or a power, you got to hit him at the root. Okay? When David beat Goliath, he had to hit him in the one spot that was going to count. Okay? In the forehead. The only spot that would make a difference. You have to do the same thing. And where it starts is in the grocery store. When you go in the grocery store, you should stay on the outer aisle of any grocery store. Produce section, meats and dairy, cheese. I wouldn't tell you to eat bread now for all the tea in China. But again, if you have to have it, you know, grow your own wheat. But stay on the outer exterior. The only thing you might want to get from the interior, if anything, might be your spices and seasoning. That's it. Those are antioxidants. Those are things that can help, again, sustain you. The rest of the aisles are in boxes, bags, cans, and they all have either MSG, aluminum, canola oil, hydrolyzed vegetable protein, which is soy, all kinds of different soy products. Don't buy them.
And there's a lot of them. They don't even have to label in certain ways. I mean, natural flavorings is a...
That's soy.
Know. Yeah, and I've heard there's a, you know, it's a lot of different chemicals can come under that.
Yeah, for sure. But the thing is, when you see it, okay, when you see natural flavor, you cannot assume that, you know, you have to ask yourself, what the bloody hell is natural flavor? What is it? You know, artificial flavor. What is that? That's just a title. You know, when you hear the word organic, this one cracks me up the most. Organic was actually designed by the drug industry or the food industry way back in the 60s and 70s to sell high-priced foods. There's three definitions of organics, and somebody will say, well, it's under the USDA. That's right, it is. But there's three definitions of organics. One definition says it has to be 95% clean. Another one says it has to be 70% clean. And the third one says it can be 65% clean, which can be anything that you buy in a grocery store or a drugstore. How many of you gone into a store and seen a box of cookies or a can of something or another that says it's organic? Organic means carbon-based. That's what it really means.
Wow.
That's what it really means. So when you go outside and you see that tree growing outside in front of you, that's organic. You can spray the hell out of that tree and it's still organic because it's carbon-based. And this is a play on words. I'm going to catch all kinds of hell over this thing because people get into their fixed thinking because this is how they've been programmed to believe. Everyone always tells me, well, look at all the Japanese eating all the soy. I says, yeah, and they're all dying of cancer. Well, they don't have breast cancer. No, they don't. That's because they're eating iodine. They're eating seaweed. Okay, seaweed has iodine in it, which converts to estriol, which binds to estradiol and estrione, and guess what? It's out the body. They don't get it. You won't get it either if you eat seaweed, not from soy. But because they're eating soy, they have thyroid cancers, and they have esophageal cancers, pancreatic cancers, intestinal cancers. And someone says to me all the time, well, they're living the longest. I says, no, they're not living the longest. They barely outlive Americans. The longest living people on the planet are Hunsas and the Hopi Indians. Hopi Indians live up to about 110 years old. The Hunsas live up to about 125, 130. They don't start having babies until they're 70. Those are some tough people. Now, when they start eating the stuff from North America or imports, that's when they start dying like everybody else, suffering with the same diseases and illnesses. So when you hear all the stuff that you're seeing, and I always explain it this way. When you look at a card, okay, we got a deck of cards here, and I pull up a deck of one card. And say it's a king of diamonds that I'm showing you. I say, what do you see? And you say a king of diamonds. I say, what else do you see? He says, well, that's all I see. I see the face card. I said, all right, start looking at the top. There's a top, there's a left side, a right side, the bottom side, and there's a back side. These are what I'm showing you in anything, whether it's a drug company, whether it's a food manufacturing company or a vitamin company, I am showing you that face card. Here, take a look at this. Whoa, you know, it's going to glow in the dark. It's going to put a red S on your chest, blue underwear. You're going to leap tall buildings. Bullets are going to bounce off you. You know, they're going to call you super something. Okay, that's the sales pitch. Now, when you look at the ingredients on those things, you will find that they'll have canola oil in there. They'll have propylene ethylene glycol in there, which is antifreeze, propylene glycol. They'll have carnauba wax to use to put on your car, which isn't going to digest properly in your system, which will actually further exacerbate your liver and gallbladder. Okay, they've got all these contaminants. You'll hear about a supplement that will come along, for instance, CQ10 has come along with a stuff called ubiquinol. 7 times more absorbable than CQ10. And what did they fuse it with? Canola oil, soybean oil. So they've given you something that will really absorb, but they put it in a poison.
Well, my understanding, too, is that they've got a ton of different fluorides out there, and what it sounds like to me is that they've taken a fluoride molecule and added it to some kind of waste product that they wanted to get rid of and then could call it fluoride.
Exactly. Well, yeah, the fluorides, a lot of the fluoride products came from coal stacks, exhaust stacks in the past. It's still doing it today. And basically, like I said, well, if you look at one, there's a national brand that's being televised on TV, a vitamin company, and IG Farben owns it. I won't tell you what it is because I really don't want to get into that kind of headache, but I will show you what to look for. If you flip the bottle over, it'll have cupric oxide in it, which is copper oxide. It'll have aluminum in it. It'll have aluminum in it about 5 different times. And this is in the vitamin. National brand. You go to a Costco or what's the other big one? Walgreens? Not Walgreens. What is it? There's two big main warehouse stores in the U.S. I can't think of the other one, but it's like a Costco.
Sam's?
I'm sorry?
Sam's.
Sam's, that's it. And you go down that section of in the aisle there, you know, and you see all these things at wholesale cost. You buy five cases of this and you pay $10. You buy one case and you pay $9, you know, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And you read the vitamins that are there. You think, wow, I'm getting 5,000 pills in this bottle for 50 cents. Flip it over. Read the label. If you see any of the things saying artificial flavor, food in red, food color red number 40, number 3, yellow number 5, number 6, yellow number 5 and number 6 can cause asthma attacks to occur. So when you're seeing these great, wonderful deals on vitamins, read the label.
Now, when you were getting into the thing with them burning the fires over in Russia, and I kind of interrupted, go ahead and follow through with that thought a little bit on...
Well, think about this. We're burning radioactive material, and it's going up in the air.
So maybe maybe Chernobyl was kind of a, you know, an experiment that, or said it was an accident, but it was really a way to disperse.
Well, Nagasaki was the experiment. That's where it started. We dropped 2 nuclear bombs over there. We only needed to do one.
Although I think they did it to the United States quite a bit back in during the 50s, too.
Oh, the United States sort of did it to itself. When it was doing a lot of experimenting with the nuclear bombs, one time they blew a bomb off the coast of Alaska. And they were forecasting or analyzing the winds, and the winds had sheared differently. They thought it was going to go one way and went the other way. And what happened was the nuclear fallout fell right across, all across Canada, all across northern United States, right from Alaska, right across to Maine, and down into the Virginias. So for a period of time there, a lot of people were having thyroid issues because of the radioactive fallout. Now we're burning this, but we got to look at this from another angle as well. Not only are we burning the radioactive stockpile in the Soviet Union, we have also got depleted uranium issues going on in Iraq. That's also leaked into the air. So you got to remember, we have now released a plethora of radioactive material in the atmosphere. We're going to breathe that. Sooner or later, we're going to breathe that, which will further break down your immune system. So I on my webpage, for instance, I've got on the one of my shows here. Let's see if I can find it real quick. I believe it was the 27th. Let me find it real fast. I've got in there some radiation information that you might want to be interested in. I believe it's in the. Give me one second here.
Now, you archive most of your programs with...
Yeah, I've got a link on my page called Script of the Show. And on there, I've got, like I said, everything I've done, everything I've talked about. Sometimes I never even get to these things sometimes, depending on the show. The information is there. Everybody's free to access this information. It's download whatever you like. I would encourage you to share this information with everybody you know. There's no cost on this. Basically, it's just about you being enlightened and enhanced with knowledge so that you can be prepared.
And is there a link from the MicroEffect site to...
Yeah, there is.
Okay.
There is, actually. There's a link there as well. There's also a link on my YouTube. So if you go on to YouTube, you can also access the webpage from there. I also do some MySpace stuff there. I went there. I don't do Facebook. I won't go there. I've been invited many a time, but I was there at one point in time, and I've heard that they... you got a lot of military monitoring there, and they will take away your creative whatever and use it for themselves. There was a woman that actually had died, and they took her picture, and they used it for a dietary supplement, and when the family found out, they were not happy. So, and again, you can't blame them on the whole theme. I think I found it here. Give me a second. Just want to get the right show. Yeah, here it is. Okay, I've got on here on my Script of the Show, if you go into it, I've got Show of the Week, August 16, 2010. If you go on there, there's a whole bunch of links that you can use to protect yourself from radiation, different studies and whatnot. I would encourage you to take a baking soda, magnesium, or Epsom salt bath. I even tell people to use, there is a one link there where they actually tell you to use chlorine in small amounts because of the way it extracts the radiation out. Plus, it does increase hydrochloric acid production in the system. But again, there's other things to do as well. And again, I'm not a proponent of telling you to poison yourself, but when you're dealing with something like this to this level, you're going to need everything you can to protect your DNA. So by eliminating the soy, eliminating the canola oil, especially, and some of the other foods that you're eating that will damage your DNA, genetically modified foods, even the cloned meat now, which you're getting into, which is, again, another source of genetics. They now want to release a genetically modified fish into the ocean. They're debating it. The fish will grow to full size in half the time. But what it does is it will take over its indigenous relative after 40 generations. So by that time, the food chain in the ocean now will start to be genetically altered as well.
You know, one of the things that's diabolical about this is if they're genetically modifying all these other things in our environment, it's really being targeted at genetically modifying us.
Exactly. Exactly. And when you break down our genetic code, we die a lot easier. We're living too long.
I mean,
we want you to work until you're about 40 and 50, then die. I don't want to have to pay a pension. I don't want to have to take care of you. I don't want to have to be a drain on the system. You've served your purpose. We've used your strength. See ya. You know, next.
Yep. If they call you a human resource, I mean, that should be kind of a clue.
Yep. Exactly. Well, anyway, on that page, there's a thing here called Russia Burns. And again, I've got all kinds of recipes on there for you. Again, this may help some of you. Some of you may look at this. Some of you may start your own research. The whole idea here is you don't even have to accept what I'm telling you. I really don't care if you do or you don't. All I'm telling you is to investigate and evaluate. That's what I'm telling you to do.
Do you get any of the troops coming to you for detoxifying from all the things they're exposed to?
Sorry, not the last part.
Do you get any of the troops coming to you to detoxify from the things that they've been exposed to?
No, I haven't. I've had some people contact me in some parts of the U.S. I've come back from Iraq or Afghanistan, and I've heard some things where they tell you they're pumping them up with steroids and all kinds of stuff, and then when they come back here to the U.S., since they're not getting this regimen of drugs that they needed to offset the exposure they had, they start breaking down, which makes sense, because when you're using these anabolics in high doses, it wears down the liver, breaks down the kidneys, it breaks down your internal organs. There's a couple of anabolic steroids that people can use without any concern or any significant concern that can actually help maintain and strengthen you. And again, exobaline, which is a B12 derivative, Anavar, they give that to even children for growth deficiencies, and they give it to AIDS patients who are wasting. And there was another one. But anyway, those can be used safely just by anybody without hardly any problems, unless there's a propensity for a problem. But when you're using high levels of anabolic steroids, high levels of testosterone, high levels of different hormones in the body, what that does is it causes your glands and your organs to burn out faster. So as a result, again, you age, your immune system starts to compromise, and then being exposed to depleted uranium, the harsh fungi, the harsh heat, the fungi that's in the sand in the desert. I mean, it would be the same thing as if you were in Arizona with valley fever, which is a fungal growth from the dust. You have to realize that these guys are expendable. I mean, they're sending them over there to die. I mean, think about this. So why is the military in Canada, United States, and Australia, and other parts of the world in Afghanistan? Why are we there? You know, some people say the Russians want uranium, the Americans want the oil, and the Chinese want the poppy. You know, that's why we're there. Not because we're chasing some bad guy that blew down the building. You know, if anybody's ever looked at that, and again, this is my opinion and from what I've observed, but that to me was a demolition.
Right.
Buildings just don't fall straight down when you get hit by an airplane. And I've seen illustrations when airplanes hit high-rise buildings like as high as that or whatever, and all that you lose is the top tier, the top layer.
Right.
The airplane went into the building and got swallowed up by the building, so the architects that built that building built it solid, but it fell straight down. And then a building across the street that didn't get hit, didn't have any influence whatsoever, it collapsed on its own. Isn't that interesting? So again, something to evaluate and to consider. So, and again, I didn't mean to go off topic, but I'm just trying to make a point.
Well, one of the things that I've found doing this program is that it doesn't matter what direction you're going in, it all leads to back to this end game, and it is the eugenics program, and it isn't a many conspiracies. It's one that has a lot of compartmentalization going on that is there to confuse us, but it's like you said earlier, we're under attack.
Yeah, we're at war. We are at war. I was just thinking about a biblical verse the other day. It said, there's no discharge from war. And I read this when I was a kid, you know, going way back in the day when I was reading the Bible. And I never understood that term till 3 days ago. See, I'm kind of slow. I want to point something out that really, really, really irked me. Has to do with the United States. Arizona has decided to take a stand about their immigration policies. And I say kudos to Arizona. They are part of the United States. They're standing up for their freedoms and their rights of free choice. Now, Mr. President Obama decided he was going to run to the United Nations, cry a boo-hoo, because Arizona did not want to play in his playground, his way. Now, I kept thinking to myself on this one, and I'm going to make a point on the health as well. I kept thinking about this one is, what do we have to do with the UN? Whether it be Canada, the United States, what do we have to do with it? This is an internal, in-house problem. Now, if you can't get them to line up and bow down to your majesty, your kingship, that's your problem. And if they have a problem that you will not help them with, they're going to deal with it any way they like. Now, as Americans, as Canadians who believe in freedoms and democracies and right of choice, I don't believe anybody has, whether they're at the top or bottom of the heap, they're going to run to an outside power to enforce an inside power. Something is wrong. And this is what's going on with our health. We are allowing an outside power in the name of the EFSA, which is, again, part of the FDA here in the United States, but they can't show themselves that involved. So now we're saying that the Europeans are going to make decisions for us in America or us in Canada. I have a different health issue going on in Canada than you have in the United States. You have different health issues going on in the United States that are going on in Mexico and vice versa and all the way around. So how can we centralize from an outside source what's going on in-house? And this is what we have to wake up to. You know, pretty soon, sooner or later, all the so-called jobs are going to be gone. They've got everybody on this idea of we need a job. We don't need a job. That's a lot of horse manure. What we need is enterprises by people who will now keep their enterprises in a local area where you don't have to worry about your job going to the Philippines, your job going to Vietnam, your job going to Peru, your job going to India, your job going to wherever. You build a business and you support the local system. That's a network. And that's what needs to be done. We have to get away from this slave thinking. When it comes to our health, we're all enslaved to think that these doctors are gods and we're supposed to bow down and listen to everything they say. That will get you killed. Start evaluating and considering your research on what they tell you. I have a woman in Detroit, across the creek, I've been helping. She was diagnosed with breast cancer. So we've been helping her out. There's been some changes, but there's also been some setbacks. So she sent me an email about what was going on, and I told her, I said, I'm not interested in them using you as the next guinea pig to sterilize you. I said, we need to find out why you're still having this problem. What is the triggering mechanism? What is going on? Why you're overloaded with this estrogen? Now, that's what the medical field should be doing. I should be out somewhere fishing somewhere. They should be here doing that job. But the point is this. You cannot allow yourself to be enslaved to the medical system that's out there not to heal or cure, but to basically keep you enslaved in illness. Look for the answers. They are there, and they're approachable. You can find them. You know, you can contact people like myself or other healers in your area or other people. And I mean by healer, They can be somebody in the allopathic field as long as they are seriously trying to help people find their health. Now, they can be a doctor, they can be a naturopath, they can be a herbalist, they can be an aromatherapist, they can be somebody that's out middle of the bush somewhere. If they've got the answers, it's going to fix your problem, don't judge the source, but judge the result. If you got a doctor and all he wants to do is pump mercury into your arms or your backside and he wants to give you a drug and keep you stupid, and you go to three different doctors and they're giving you three different types of drugs and not one of them is exploring what the other one's giving you, see if there's any kind of cross interference going on there or side effects, then the onus is up to you. Yeah. And somebody said, well, I'm afraid I'm going to upset my doctor. So what? Who cares? So he misses a car payment. So he misses a house payment. Maybe then it'll snap him back into the reality that they need to do their fulfill their obligation to you. I tell people all the time, the medical field no longer swears by the Hippocratic Oath. People are a little shocked when I say this. You know, they're not under any oath anymore. There was a conflict on the oath and giving you drugs that could kill you.
Well, so in the meantime, you're doing this radio program so that you can get this kind of information out to the people so they can start thinking about
that,
their hair.
Yeah, that's the whole idea. Hopefully thinking and not becoming dependent. Okay? I am not a god. I'm not somebody that you need to be discipled by. You know, I'm not that kind of guy. I really am not. You know, I'm just, like I said, I'm just a guy that knows some stuff. That's all I am. That's my fame to shame, my claim to shame. And I'm just a guy that knows some stuff. Nothing more. Now, the information is there. And again, it's up to you to evaluate and consider. And again, if it does cause you some disruption, does make you feel a little uneasy, if it does make you feel a little bit nervous, that's a good sign that your conscience isn't dead yet. You know, that's a good sign that your conscience isn't dead yet. And if it's going to cause you to fear a little bit, you know, that's okay. A little fear is good for all of us. And we become arrogant, and we become full of pride and stupidity in our existence. And if you believe in God or whatever you believe in, and that's what consoles you, by all means. But then ask your maker, ask your universe, whatever you pray to give you some wisdom and knowledge.
And you know, one of the things I've also found that, you know, the so-called experts out there have been some of the most close-minded people I've run across.
And yeah, I can understand why on some level.
Yeah, well, right, and it's not, but all of us have been guilty.
I get people all the time confronting me, and a lot of times I have to be very close with some of them as well, because sometimes some of them are just there to be stupid and ridiculous.
Right.
Sometimes.
And I'm not saying that any of us are immune to that, because somewhere along the line we've been indoctrinated to believe something and didn't ask questions and do our own research.
Right.
And so that's what, you know, you're about, and to bring the information to the people. And again, you have a program on the micro effect, and you have a website again at http://augmentationinforce.50webs.com.
Yep.
And it's linked from the Micro Effect website, and you also have a bunch of YouTube videos out there showing people how to make a lot of these different tinctures and various things that they may find quite useful in everyday ailments and the like.
For sure. I tell everybody, you know, if you go on my webpage, download whatever you like. Seriously, download whatever you like. Want to download the whole thing? Do so. And I would encourage you to share the information. If you find it of any value and it's helping you, definitely share it with somebody else. Share it with your neighbor. That good neighbor policy and that network thing I talk about, it's going to come in handy up the way.
Right.
And the more you're aware of how to use things that we used to know how to use way back in the day, one day you may not get access to drugs because you're not complying to the system. One day you may not get access to the vitamins because, again, you're not complying to the system. One day you may not get access to going to the grocery store because you're not complying to the system. So you're going to have to know how to beat the system or how to survive or coexist with it.
Right.
So even on my YouTube, I've got got videos in my favorites, not just what I put out there, but even in my favorites. And I encourage you to use them too. How to grow a vertical garden. How to make your own vertical garden. We're probably going to be doing one of the videos on that later on to show people how to do that. Or grow a pot garden. Have pots or a hay bale garden or a window garden. But I would definitely encourage everybody to save all your seeds. You know, buy them, save them. If you're eating foods that are safe, save the seeds. If you're buying garlic, and if you go to the store and you see the garlic starting to sprout, plant it. Seeing onions starting to sprout, plant it. You know, if he's buying potatoes and they're sprouting, plant them. You know, start saving your seeds. Start getting ready for the big boom. You know, because like I said, if you don't play the game, they're gonna leave you out of the system. And they don't care if you live or die. They don't care if you starve. They don't care if you're sick. They don't care if anything. And then it'll be up to you to know how to take care of things. And none of us can do it on our own. Nobody. As smart as I am, and as gifted as I am, and as gifted as Melody is here, and as smart as she is, and everybody else, okay, none of us can do it on our own. It'll be impossible. But where I may be intelligent and smart, I may be dumb as a brick somewhere else, and you may have that intelligence that I need to complement me, and that's a network. That's a network. And again, the biggest fight we're going to have is being aware of the fact or being conscious of the fact that we have been conditioned to think in a programmed manner. And we have to break the program. And the only way we're going to do that, again, is by, again, using our resources to build each other up.
And start thinking outside the box and realizing that, you know, we can come up with the answers on our own. And we don't have to depend.
Oh, definitely. Look,
right.
We have been on this planet surviving everything that's ever come on the planet. And it's because of human ingenuity, you know, and divine providence, however you want to define it. And there, I don't believe for one minute that we can't win. Matter of fact, in the end, we do win. And that's how I look at it. And I tell you how we win, because we don't surrender to stupidity. You know, a virus will build on itself, and once it builds and exposes itself, eventually it will feed on itself and consume itself and die. This global system that's coming up will do the same. You got too many gods at the top that will vie for power. Eventually they will consume each other and destroy each other. All we've got to do basically is stand there and watch and develop our own network. Some of you are really good in computers. Some of you are really good at building a home. Some of you are good at farming. Some of you are good at raising animals. Some of you are good at sewing, which is just as important as anything else. Some of you are really good at repair work, welding, whatever. That's awesome. Some of you, like myself, are good at health and healing. You know, and that's awesome. The point is this, it's all complementary and it's all networked when it's all put together.
Well, let me say, this is KHEN LPFM Radio 106.9 Salida, Colorado. And Tony, I want to say that I, you know, you've been very informative and I hope we can do this again. And
oh, I have no problem. As long as you can put up with me, hey.
I know you got a wealth of information. We haven't hardly tipped touched anything as far as some of the remedies that you've come up with and utilize and that are quite interesting and that everybody should know. But you don't absorb it and learn it all at once. It takes time, and you've provided a wealth, a great resource that people can go to and get some of your knowledge.
Well, like I said, the hope is here. I mean, like everything's here. I've got a link here called Recipe for Remedy, which gives you some ideas. We've got workshops on the webpage. I've got the YouTubes where I actually show you through illustrations. And like I said, it's just, they're not edited. So there's a screw up on there. You'll see that too. you know. But the idea is, the reason why we didn't cut out the screw up is because you're probably going to screw up when you make the stuff too. The point is this, if you do screw up, it's not the end of the world. You can fix it. You know what I'm saying? So that's what we leave them on there. Because, again, I don't have an elaborate kitchen. I don't have one of these TV stands where I've got the most, you know, I got the big long tables and I got everything hanging above and everything's nice and neat and petite. No, I've got a kitchen just like you do, messy and dysfunctional and whatever, but it works for me. And you're no different. So, again, the whole idea there is to get you going, get you, again, to evaluate and consider. And seeing some of these things work firsthand, you might be surprised at how much they may actually help your system.
Right. And again, I want to thank you, Tony, and thanks for staying up late. Although, luckily, if people are wondering and we're coming to a close here, is because we started at 8 p.m. tonight instead of 9, because my program has been moved up an hour so that we could get people like you out on the East Coast, and that keep you up to 1, just midnight.
It's okay. I'm still going to be here for another hour, so it's I still got work to do. No worries. And anyway, listen, thanks for having me. I appreciate it. I hope, like I said, I've helped people, again, to be able to evaluate and consider. And again, if you ever want to do this again, we will.
Okay. Well, thanks again.
All right. You have a good night, eh?
Uh-huh. Good night.
Take care.